This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geeks, show number 634 with Aaron Lawrence, recorded on January 2nd, 2025. Here at Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home, news, reviews, product updates, and conversation. All for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Carlson, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in a very chilly, I think we have a polar vortex coming. Are you affected by those? You're up close to the mountains, so maybe not as much, yeah. But still, how's the weather in Canada? You guys okay?
It's cold. We hate it. We're all miserable. That's why we're sending you our polar vortex.
I know. Well, it's on its way. -1 here, middle of the week. Ooh, next Fahrenheit.
That's tough.
-40 40 Celsius and Fahrenheit come together. So
yep.
We just wish it was always -40. And that's not
we,
true.
We get that every now and then. And it's not pleasant.
No, not fun. You guys you're built for it up there. That's what they say. And then they say that about Midwest people too. Like, oh, you deserve it because you live there. Gee, thanks a lot. Anyways, we post a show with some world-class show notes, and we'll have a bunch there because, you know, Aaron is here. And so we'll have some world-class show notes out at theaverageguy.tv. Big thanks to our Patreon subscribers as we go into the new year. Thank you for those of you who do support the program here on Patreon. If you want to join the team, theaverageguy.tv/Patreon. And if you use the affiliate links out at theaverageguy.tv, there's just a red sentence, something about Amazon, whatever. Click through it. It'll assign it to me, and then all is good. We're through the Christmas time, but you need to go to Amazon and buy all the things you didn't get for Christmas. Aaron, how was Christmas for you? Did you, like, as a reviewer, do you get everything you want? Like, how does that work?
I kind of do. I struggle with asking for stuff because if I really want something, I'm going to buy it. Or if I need something to review, I'm going to buy it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I tend to ask for like girlier things for Christmas, okay. You know, like face creams and essential oils and stuff like that.
If you gave Roger a score this year at Christmas, maybe on a 100 scale, what is he?
Oh,
how'd he do?
He's good. He got me the cutest little thing. He had a little crochet version of our dog made that sits on my desk and watches over me. So I thought that was pretty.
That's 110.
Pretty special.
That's 110.
Right? Yeah, it made me cry when he gave it because it looks exactly like my dog. So yeah. It was very special.
We lost our cat 2 years ago, and my daughter crocheted for me, hand knitted.
Oh,
we call it the desk kitty.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just I leave it back there on the. She calls it a desk kitty. So.
This will be desk doggy. Meets
yeah,
desk
dog.
Kitty. There
Your
we go.
Desk dog. Desk yeah. dog. Yeah, no, sounds good. Well, it's good. Glad to hear Roger did okay on Christmas. He's still doing okay. It's surprising.
Still
for guys.
Doing good stuff. Yeah.
For guys. Kind of surprising. But
every now and then I give him helpful hints, and I know he stashes them away for the end of the year.
Yeah.
So.
Do you guys have gift lists? Like, so we keep a Google Doc. It's a sheet, right? And it's got everybody what gift ideas for everybody in the family. You know, there's 1,000 of us Collisons. So like it helps us organize the gifts and stuff. Do you use any technology for like to keep those notes or anything?
I keep a list of kind of things that I would ask for in an Apple Note file.
Oh, okay.
And then same thing for if Roger happens to mention something throughout the year, I'll surreptitiously get my phone out and write it down. And then when November rolls around, I can usually open up that doc and just see what's in there
idea.
And start buying.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just some things. It makes it easier on everybody. And I just realized, like, I really need to do a better job of updating that thing because nobody knows what to get this guy. Because like you, if I need it, I just buy it, right?
Yeah.
That's the it's a problem.
That's the great thing about adulting. We can get stuff when we need stuff.
I know.
Or want
Sounds
stuff.
Good. How's everything? Tech Gadgets Canada is your site. It's been a while since we've seen you, not that long, but how are things going over there at techgadgetscanada.com?
Yeah, really good. I had a super busy review season ahead of the holidays. It's always a really busy time. People are either looking for ideas for gifts. So they're checking out reviews and videos. So it's busy on the channel, busy on the blog and the website. Or after they get stuff for Christmas, they want to figure out how to use it or why something's not working the way it's supposed to. So they're generally checking back on the YouTube channel in particular right after Christmas to, you know, learn about their new toys. So off a pretty good. Busy season.
Good. Well, let's dive in a little bit from your site. You looked at some Bose Ultra Open earbuds, and I'll show them on screen here. You know, earbuds kind of have this in and out cycle. They're popular for a while, then they're not. Then a new version comes out, and maybe Apple leads with that or whatever. But you reviewed these. I'll show them on screen. Talk a little bit about them.
Yeah, they're really, really unique, I would say. I've never seen anything quite like them.
I get the wrong ones?
Bose Ultra Open.
Was that the wrong link?
Oh, no, that's the right one. Sorry, the beginning starts with something with a mishmash of other headphones. I was worried there for a second. So as you can see, there's all kinds of different styles of headphones out there. But the thing that makes these Ultra Open earbuds unique is that they're kind of like C-shaped. So they're almost a clip. And they're made of this sort of rubberized silicone with sort of a hook on one side and kind of a barrel on the other, if you can picture it. And you essentially just clip them kind of around the side of your ear, and they almost hang, not quite like an earring because they're not hanging down that way, but they're sort of cupped around your ear.
Oh, okay, from the bottom, kind of. Yeah. Rather than you think of the clips going over the top, that's been real popular, but these kind of come up around the side, right?
Exactly. So the speaker part kind of is tucked into where an earbud would normally go, but the back sort of wraps around the side of your ear. And I've never seen that form factor before, and I wasn't sure if they were going to be comfortable. I wasn't sure how they were going to sound because they look almost flimsy, if I'm being honest. But when I first put them on, they are so comfortable. They don't pinch your ear. They don't go into your ear canal. So people that really hate that in your ear feeling, you just sort of get the sound piped into your ear concha, the round part there outside the ear canal. And the effect is actually pretty remarkable because it's piping sound almost through this little speaker. So it comes directly into your ear still. And if you're standing next to someone wearing these, Roger and I, my husband and I tried this and it stood right next to him while he had them on. I could kind of hear the barest whisper, and he had them set at about 75% volume.
Okay.
I couldn't hear what he was listening to or make out anything specific. I could just barely discern that he was listening to something. So the sound doesn't bleed. The sound quality with that shape is actually also really good. I was surprised at how much fidelity there was in those earbuds. Yeah, it was just a really unique set of earbuds, and I wasn't sure I was going to like them, and I really fell in love with them.
They come with a case. On the video we're watching, you're talking about battery life. How do they do from a battery life? Because that's all that, I mean, sound, which you mentioned, they're not broadcasting to people around you, right? Which I'm always, and it looks like apparently from the video, looks like they stay in your ears as well. So battery life, and do they stay in? Let's talk about that.
Did all kinds of, you know, tests and running and jumping around and ridiculous things in my video. They do stay put remarkably well. Again, something I wasn't expecting because they've got that really flexible silicone design that you can sort of stretch open, wrap it around your ear, and, you know, they snap shut again. In terms of the battery life, that was probably the biggest deal breaker for me with these. They had about 7 hours or so of battery life on a single charge. And if you use them with spatial audio, which they also have, it cuts the battery life down to about four and a half hours. Depending on what you're doing and how often you're listening to stuff, 4 hours is kind of decent. I mean, 5-6 years ago, we were all only getting 4 hours and we were happy about it. So, but these days, you know, with a lot of headphones and earbuds, you can get 20, 40, 60 hours on a charge. So that felt a little on the weak side. But the case, of course, does give you extra charging. It goes up to about another 20 hours with the case.
Do they have a microphone built into them? So can you use them as a phone as well?
Yeah, absolutely. You can use them for calls. You can use them for podcasting or videos. They're pretty versatile.
How'd the audio, you know, this is always the challenge, is it's way back here on your ear. And in those, they're even a little bit farther back, right?
Yeah.
How'd you feel about the sound quality of the microphone?
It was okay. I mean, it didn't bowl me over. And when I was doing my phone call testing, it was kind of like, you know, do you notice anything about, you know, how I sound? It's like, nope, nobody did. Okay. So average, I would say average to good.
Yeah. You know, with battery life that short, I'm always thinking at some point I'm going to need to replace the headphones. You know, I go wired. I do it on purpose as a podcaster. I don't want things running out of battery. You know, you go typically on podcasting for 2 hours. Say I miss a charging cycle, I'm going to be pretty close. And the last thing that you want in the next podcasting cycle is low battery.
Yeah.
You know, that voice coming in from Bose. Do they have any, I know some of the Bose components, like the over the ear 35s mm-hmm. now have some integration with Alexa, the A Lady, and some mm-hmm. of those other things. Does this have any built-in smart stuff?
I think most of them, I don't remember testing that on these ones. I think most of them do have the ability to summon sort of whatever's on your phone, just with either a tap or a call. I don't really recall if these ones did.
I really wanted those Bose in-ear sleep ones. I wanted those to work. And they sold them for a while and then they ripped them off the market. Yeah. And then you see things like this and I'm like, oh, because I don't want them hanging out of my ears.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, I don't want the
it
things.
It presses coming. On them if you're a side sleeper, especially.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I'm just thinking about just a regular set of earbuds with those, you know, you think about an Apple, the EarPods now, and they stick that, you know, that thing sticks down, right? And
the stick
kind of clips on the ear. Do they come, like that blue is bright. Do they come in any less brighter colors that you know?
Yeah, I think they had a white version and a gray or a black version. I specifically requested the blue because I thought it looked pretty cool and I wanted something a little flashier. Most of the review headphones that I try out are either black or white. So I saw the color and I was like, let's do that. It makes for good photography and video too.
Yeah. I wonder, and that's another thing, you know, sometimes for like musicians for the really expensive in-ear monitors, you know, they get those custom colored kind of, so it just blends in.
Yep. And custom molded. You know what? I think that'll be the next big thing too, Jim, sending people a kit. I mean, I've had it done when I worked in TV, we all had those.
Right.
And it's just, you know, you mash some putty in your ear, you let it sit there for a minute, you pop it out, you mail it off to a company, and they send you back the finished product. So I am waiting for that to kind of be the next thing in personal listening, where you can just, you know, do your own ear measurements, do your own ear mold, send that off and get custom made earbuds. I mean, they could charge a mint for them and they would.
Yeah.
So.
And I might even be honest, for podcasting, I might even take an in-ear that then has like, we see this in hearing aids now, where it's just it's a clear tube that goes around to the back and the back is battery.
Yeah.
And so you get the best of both worlds. I also want to be able to, I want ambient sound to be able to come through. Now I know the AirPods, I think, have that where you can tap them and then it starts amplifying the sound or whatever that's around you. What between the two, what first of all, what was retail on these about? And then
about $299 US.
Okay. So pretty
$379 Canadian.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, sorry. I know. But you have free health care. So it all evens out somehow.
Right.
And then what between these and AirPods, where would you land, do you think?
Well, I'm mad at AirPods these days. I've been mad at AirPods for about the last 2 years. So I would pick just about anything over AirPods.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, my AirPods Pros, Pro 2, I guess they would be. I've had to replace both buds. I mean, they're only 3-4 years old, and I've replaced everything but the case at this point. So
yeah, shoot. Okay. Yeah, it's hard. Those are small little devices that are, they get dropped and thrown around and thrown in the case and sit in your head. And they're not, it's just, there's not a lot of room for error or batteries in most kinds of things.
I did a video though about, must be 3 years ago now, 3 or 4 years ago, just about kind of all the things I tried to do to fix my AirPods because they were making this crackling sound when I was listening. Mm. And I just sort of put this video together, wrote up an article about it, and then, you know, put it out there for all the potential fixes. And then, you know, said in the end, I had to go and buy a new AirPod. I think that video has like 500,000 views now. And the comments are like hundreds of people going, yes, same thing happened to me. Apple won't replace them. So something's up with them.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I still don't think we've cracked the code on the perfect earbud.
And everybody's so different.
Yeah. 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 I'm wearing, you know, a wired pair of Apple, but they have a earbud covers. That Earbud was a company bought by JBL eventually, and then they closed it down, and it was great because they made great covers that fit your ears and that loud ambient. They're perfect for podcasters, but they're no longer available because JBL shut them down and they just closed the company. They bought them out and then closed the company. So I still think we're a ways away from really good. I don't know, from really good earbuds. I'm a big Stargate fan, you know, the TV show Stargate. Yeah. And no matter where they go, they have these cute little communication things that they're on their ears, right? That seem to, at least on TV, they sound perfect all the time. Why can't we get those?
TV wouldn't make that up.
Why can't I know for sure they wouldn't. Why can't we get those? Anyways, well, okay, I'll have to check that out. Again, I love Bose speakers. I have a Bose, I forget the name of it, but you know, a tube that you can take out, a speaker, right? It's a speaker. And I just use it this weekend or this week for a long workout that I did. And you just take it and connect the phone to it. The bass is amazing in those things. And the sound, you know, we're in a stairwell and it sounded really good there. Yeah. And you're like,
Bose makes good products. I know. Generally speaking, like really good, like worth the money good.
Yeah. I just wish their earbuds have not been the best. And so, and they've made some good ones. Don't get me wrong, anyway, so I'll have to check that out. Okay. Maybe we buried the lead on this one. What I really want to get to is, wait a minute, you're reviewing cars? Like, what's happening with you, Aaron? Like, this is awesome.
the way I explain it, because that's what everybody says, is like, what are you doing reviewing cars? There's so much crossover nowadays from technology to cars. And so much technology in cars that, I mean, there's just so much overlap. It's almost like a natural progression. So I've been really fortunate that I've had a few opportunities over the last year to review a handful of cars.
And I'm showing a Kia, which by the way, full disclosure, my number four son works at a Kia dealership. So he's a master mechanic. So he would work on these kinds of things. But you had a chance to look at their EV9 GT. Geez. How long do you get to keep these? And do you really get to just drive them into the ground?
They discourage that. But the Kia I did have for 2 weeks. So I was able to get access to it in Calgary and hang on to it for 2 weeks, which, as the more I review cars, the more I'm kind of realizing that's sort of the optimum review time. I've done a car review in as little as 48 hours on site. And another car I had recently, I had for just a week. I find that when you're testing out a car, like by the time you sort of get into it and start using it and figure out, you know, where the blinker is and how you operate the stereo and where the seat heaters are and that kind of thing, it's been a few days. Like it takes you a good week, I think, to just get used to a vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah.
So by that time I'm kind of in, I'm comfortable. I know where everything is and how to use it. And then I kind of want to start testing it and doing my assessments and stuff. So that kind of happens in the second week. And then towards the end of that second week, I'll do the videotaping and all of that. So It's been really cool. There's a lot of interesting things going on with cars.
Well, the EVs in particular, we've had a lot of conversations here about those. And in particular, you know, there's just been a lot of conversations. Tesla was out the gate with all this stuff. And on screen, I'm showing, you know, the very first thing you cover is kind of the cockpit. Mm-hmm. And what I'm seeing is more and more car companies moving away from the Tesla model, which was just basically a monitor in the center of the car, to more curved screens as a dashboard. Talk a little bit. What did this one look like here?
Yeah, it was a really interesting experience because they did really have that big kind of screen, I guess, almost from the side of the driver across to midway over to where the passenger sits. And that's sort of for your infotainment, your radio, your, you know, streaming services, all of that stuff. Climate control is baked in there as well. But then the drivers sort of got their own section of screen right in front of them with all of the stuff you need to get access to while you're driving. I've never A, driven a Kia before, and B, never driven an electric vehicle before I tried this SUV. And I didn't know what to expect. I kind of thought it would be very granola, you know, and I was surprised actually at how luxe it was, how comfortable and how fast.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe that was just a bit, you know, a bit spacey of me to just, you know, not know what to expect, but I was really impressed with it.
Yeah. Well, the fastest, they figured that all out. Like EVs, fastest thing on the roads for sure. Yeah. In the early days in the 80s and 90s, they would just rip the transmissions. They tried to use regular transmissions on electric engine, and the torque was just too much. They'd rip the transmission out every time they do it. Of course, we've moved the motors onto the wheels now, and that part works much better. Okay. Listen, I'm always a little skeptical of charging in the United States. Now, I've had many people on the show talk about Tesla charging stations. Like, oh yeah, you can find it. It finds it for you. But Canada, like, I know the healthcare is free and maybe the coffee is free, but are charging stations just everywhere? How's that work? How'd that work out?
No. Yeah. This was, it was actually a really interesting thing for me to look into because we're really not equipped very well yet in Canada for charging. I was fortunate that there was a couple charging stations, you know, in store parking lots near my house, which made it very convenient. And of course, you can park or plug in your EV in your home for the most part, as long as your electrical system can handle it.
Yeah.
Which we did actually.
I mean, do you have enough amps to charge
it? We do. And we had electrical work done about a year and a half ago. Okay. And made sure that it would allow for EV charging down the road if we wanted to.
Okay.
But with that said, so we didn't have like a special charger in there to do it. So it was just straight up plug it into the wall. Cool. And it would have taken, I think it was about 4.5 days to fully charge the EV. At the house. So I did take it over to the charger closest to our home. And if you plug it into, I always get the numbers mixed up, the level 3 charger, the highest tier of charging.
Fast charging. Yeah. DC fast charging.
Yeah. It was charged in 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of either you want to go to a charging station to get that, or you want to have that installed in your house if you can.
Right.
But then I had all these questions about like, what's the etiquette of charging at a charger? And can I just like plug my car in and take off and go shopping? And then what if I'm late? Standing in line behind me going,
yes,
hey,
they are. Yes. Yeah. Yes, they are. Yeah. So yeah, we learned from John Biggs last week, you know, you pull up to a charger and you can, you know, that it'll actually help you find those and with the Tesla stuff. It'll help you find them. But if you go over, I think there's a little bit of a penalty. Like, don't let it sit too long. They'll give you a little on either side, but then it's kind of like, hey, you're stealing somebody's tip here.
Yeah,
Finish that lunch and get out of here. Like we need the seat, right?
I like that then. That sounds very equitable.
I think so. I think it makes sense. Like at a gas station, I mean, you go to a typical American US gas station and they'll have 25 pumps, maybe 30, right? Yeah. And so you have plenty that are there. But if it's busy and somebody pulls up to a pump and then they go in and have lunch, like, hey.
Yeah, I guess we would never dream of doing that with a gas car.
Right.
But I mean, the fact that they locate all the charging stations in, you know, a Target parking lot or a Canadian Tire parking lot, it's kind of inviting you to go in and
So did it persuade you to think like, will your next car be, well, and hold on, Tony's chiming in here. He says 50 cents a minute. If you're
so smart. Love it. Yeah. Okay, good. I'm glad. Thank you for letting me know that.
It's good to know. Do you, what was I going to ask? Did it sway you? This is what I was going to ask. Did it sway you next car purchase? Are you thinking like, man, I think we're going to move to a EV for the next car?
Not yet. And not because I didn't enjoy the Kia experience, but just because we like to road trip and to have to sort of plan, you know, hour-long stops. You hope it's an hour long and it's not lined up, right? And people waiting. Yeah. On a road trip, if you're already sort of driving 4 or 5 hours in a day, I just don't think I could get behind that yet.
Yeah.
And okay. I also have questions about, you know, the extreme cold we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
In the winter in Canada, I mean, the batteries on my cameras die when it gets really cold. So how well is an electric car going to perform in minus 40 Celsius / Fahrenheit? Mm-hmm. So I want to do more research. I want to wait a little longer. I want to see more. I think if I was just getting a vehicle just for kind of kicking around the city, you know, going to dinner, getting groceries, that kind of thing, maybe.
Yeah.
But I'd feel like it limited what I could do with the vehicle.
Yeah. How often, you said 300 miles. How often do you go beyond that, do you think, in your regular travels? Do you guys travel quite a bit?
I would say the furthest we might go kind of on an average week or weekend. We have friends that live in Edmonton and that's a 3-hour drive.
Okay.
And I mean, I think the vehicle could make it the 3 hours. I'm trying to remember back to what the sort of total distance time was.
You're in Calgary, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it could, but like if you forgot to charge it or, you know, you didn't have time and you're having to like, because there's not a whole lot of charging options on the prairie in between those two cities. So it kind of goes back to the planning. Like, I think you could do it. You just have to plan for it. You've either got to plan in advance or make sure you know where you can stop. And
yeah. A couple comments coming in. Brian says that after driving an EV, I don't think I'll ever drive an ICE car, internal combustion car, ever again. That's a little radical, Brian. He says he lives in Phoenix, so he doesn't have to worry about the weather, though. Now, Bob, who's in Vancouver, says EV charging in Canada is useless.
Yeah.
You have a charger, unless you have charging access, Tesla charging access.
Right.
Road tripping is awful. Yeah, that's always been, Then Bob says Finland has more EVs per capita. They invented snow tires, just like you have to plug in ICE in cars. Yeah, you know, you got to plug in. That's true, right? You plug in and a lot of those cars have heaters to keep the batteries going, right? They'll do that for you as well. And then Kevin says, testing in Minnesota when the temperature's in the teens Fahrenheit, battery capacity is half. Yeah, you would. There's all these considerations to take into. I think Canada's a little bit behind on the charging station availability to the U.S. Certainly in Europe, in some spots in Europe, it's pretty great access. In others, it's not.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we're just in that. I think we're in that cutover period. Did you from a car? Okay, you'd mentioned the speed, but just from a driving experience, beyond those things, it got you to the grocery store. It got you around town. Right. I mean, did it feel like after the 2 weeks, it just drove like a regular car for you and you were kind of used to it?
I would say so. I think the EV kind of excitement of it wears off after a week or so. And it does feel like you're just driving a regular car. But with that said, the Kia EV9 GT line was really luxurious. It was really comfortable. Mm-hmm. It drove like a dream. It had, you know, hands-free cruise. I took it out to the mountains and, you know, basically drove the highway with my hands in my lap and my feet off the pedals, but like still kind of sitting and watching because I was a little bit paranoid, a little concerned.
Yeah. Yeah, but well, you should, for safety reasons, you should have been one.
Well, right? it's got features too, which I think most EVs do now, or self-driving cars do, where if your attention wavers, you get an alert and it'll buzz the seat or the steering wheel for you to kind of bring you back. But and then with that one, if you stop looking for long enough and you kind of, I think it's like two or three strikes and you're out, it just won't let you use the cruise
until you
turn the car off and start it again. So it's almost like a penalty, which I thought was pretty fun.
I have never heard of that. So my Subaru, which is it's pretty smart, but it's not EV, right? But I can take my hands off. I can set adaptive cruise. I can set lane assist, and it will act like it kind of acts like a smart car from that standpoint. But it knows when your hands are not on the steering wheel. And it'll beeping, 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 you know, you just put your hands back on. It'll be fine. I don't find that driving experience great. It kind of keeps you between the lanes, but it kind of drifts back and forth where I think the EVs do a better job of staying in the lane, so to speak. But
the technology's definitely come a long way.
To get the death penalty, driving like, no more for you.
Yep.
Mister, take your hands off. That's great. Take your hands off the steering wheel again and we'll shut this car down. Don't make me pull this thing over.
It'd be fun if it gave you attitude. Like,
Exactly. Yeah. I'll pull this thing over. It could, right? It could just pull you over and stop. You get a 15-minute penalty and you have to just sit there for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You have on your site, and I'll link the page there in the show notes, but starts at 60. And the higher priced ones are, let's just say, 80 to 90, probably by the time you get done. You think that's fairly reasonable for
it
new
is.
Car?
We priced out new cars within the last year. And I thought, you know, we'll go with an American made car, buy local, I guess. Yeah. And I was really excited about I wanted a Denali very briefly. Yeah. And then I priced out a new Denali. And they were, I think they started at 110 Canadian.
It's crazy.
And I was like, what? Yeah. Car prices. Maybe that's the only person in me coming out, but things are expensive.
In 2021, I paid $26 new for my Subaru Legacy.
Wow.
That just goes to now that same car today is $36. So it's not... it's not like that's 56 or 66 kind of deal, but still, I remember thinking when 25 was a lot, you know, you're like, man, that's a lot for a new car.
Yeah.
One of the things, you know, there's this whole argument going on about inflation, and certainly inflation is a real thing, but the cars, the car you drove, that Kia, even though it's a Kia, not the top of the line, you drove a Lexus. We'll talk about that here in a second. They're still spaceships. Like, think of all the technology went into that. And I think sometimes we think, you know, oh, cars just aren't as affordable as they used to be. They're also a million times safer. They have a million more features. I mean, all the things that you get in that car and it wraps his arms around you and gives you a back massage and rubs your feet.
It knows where you are. It knows if someone is in your car that's not supposed to be. It knows if your teenager is going over the speed limit. Like,
they
are pretty amazing right now.
Yeah. No, it's so I have to push back on that argument with my friends because it's all, you know, I'm in my 50s. So all my friends are like, things are so expensive, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, do you realize what you're driving?
Yeah.
You know, and the technology that goes in. I mean, it's kind of like homes. A new home today has so much more technology. Mm-hmm. Just to think in the construction. Here in the Midwest, we have to build them with all these, you know, tornado things and all of this. And you're like, yeah, you know what? In the 50s, they didn't build them that way. They were really bad. They were, electricity was bad.
That's how they ended up flat.
Right. Yes. No, right on. No, for sure. Hey, talked about, you got a Lexus, a chance to test out a Lexus too? Let me see if I can bring the video up while you're talking about it.
Yeah, yeah. It was, I was really excited to do this because it was a Lexus. Again, another vehicle that I've never had a chance to drive and experience. So I was expecting, I think, a lot. And I got a lot. Lexus is doing some pretty cool things with vehicles. This one in particular wasn't an electric vehicle, so I didn't have to worry about that. But it was a really super comfortable SUV. Hmm. You know,
better
all the bells and whistles. All the bells and whistles in it. I took that. I had it just for a week, so I kind of tried to drive it as much as I could every day. They did ask me not to take it off road, which I think is completely fair. So I didn't get to do much in the way of like testing it out off road. But I did take it out to the mountains. Just really got to enjoy the drive and. Yeah. Yeah. So luxurious.
Yeah. How did it, like, could you feel the luxury difference between that and the Kia? Did you have that one first and then the Kia, or what's the order there?
I had the Kia first. And if I'm being honest, the luxury level was actually quite close.
Okay.
I mean, I understand there's a lot of other things that can come with a Lexus. The one that I drove wasn't like a top of the line vehicle. So coming off the Kia review, and I mean, for many years, I had driven a 2010 Volkswagen. Mm. So getting into these sort of newer vehicles, it's a whole new world. It's like when we went from SD TVs and then you started seeing 4K TVs in the electronics store and you're like, what is happening? Right. Yeah. So for, it's kind of like that for me. I was sort of blown away by all the new things that I was trying, but, yeah, just like lots of cool little things like door handles that you don't pull open. You just kind of touch them and the door opens and, you know, fun stuff like that.
Spaceship kind of stuff, right?
Spaceship.
Super, super expensive kind of things that you just like, oh, yeah, I don't know why this car costs so much. Yeah, it's thinking for you. That's why it costs so much. There is Bob also mentions there's cars over 100,000 in Canada have a luxury tax for sure. And then Brian was saying, or Randy was saying, the 2022 Forester Wilderness here at the time it was new 36, it's 40 to 42 now. That is true. But you know, the only thing that's gone backwards is TVs. Like all of it, have you gone out and bought a TV? I mean, you last time you were on, I think you'd got the frame.
Yeah.
The Samsung frame.
Still TV. Rocking the frame.
I think those are like a nickel now. I think you can just go to Walmart and drop a nickel and they're like, they're giving them away. They're paying you, right? I mean, what's going on in the TV market? We didn't have this in the show notes, so I'm totally springing this on you. But certainly in this space, if you're going to buy a TV, now's the time, right? For sure.
Well, and I was doing some price checking around Black Friday just ahead of, you know, the big sales that go on. And I mean, there was like, it was like 44% off a frame TV, which is, you know, they're practically giving them away at half price. So I was pretty surprised by that. It's been, I think it's been 2 or 3 years since Samsung upgraded the frame TV. So they are overdue, I would say, for an upgrade. But with that said, I don't know kind of what else you can do with TVs yet. You know, we've already got the extraordinary screens. They're trying to make sound better. I know most flat screen TVs have terrible sound quality. So they could work on that. The frame's big thing was anti-glare coating so that, you know, even if you're watching it in a bright room, it's not going to glare back at you. So... yeah, but I mean, it almost feels like we've just kind of stagnated in this place because nobody's ready for 8K, which is already rolling out, you know, kind of in the background and at Consumer Electronics Show, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But no, nobody's ready for that.
Are you going to CES? Are you
not this year? No, not this year. I really agonized over going. I was like, oh, should I, shouldn't I? And it's, I think we've talked about this before. It's a slog. It's a long, hard physical slog. So I opted out this year.
Well, good. Good for you. I quit going a few years back and you just kind of go, I don't know, but back to the TVs. The thing that concerns me the most is when there's a race to the bottom like this, then quality really starts taking a hit. And then we start looking at these things as disposable. You know, you're like, well, I'll buy a TV, keep it for a year, then I'll buy another one. And there's no incentive in the space to make them better or to put money into them just because they're so cheap. It's a dangerous place we're in with these TVs right now. I think if you haven't bought one, the one you want, yet you need to buy it tomorrow because I think at some point the bottom's going to fall out. This happens in every situation like this. The bottom falls out. A bunch of people, they're just like, we're not going to make them anymore. We can't make any money off of them. And then it gets super expensive again. Cause you're talking about, okay, we get back to 8K. Yeah. So I think now if you're going to buy a 4K TV and it was going to be like 1,000 inches, now is probably the time, right? To get into the, and heck, even, let's see, I think Bob said, even non OLED TVs in Canada are cheap. Yeah. so there's, if it's cheap in Canada, you know, there's a problem.
We know there's something going wrong. Something's haywire.
Yeah, I know for sure. So, for Christmas, I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. For Christmas, I bought my wife an herb garden planter that's kind of old school. It's made out of kind of redwood and it's kind of a cart style. The plan is to take it outside in the summer and then be able to bring it in the winter. She really likes to pick fresh herbs when she's doing this kind of thing. I already had a grow light here that we tried some other plants with, some other plants. I'll let you guess what those are. So we kind of had all the things, but you recently tried out one that, again, looks like a freaking spaceship. Let's talk about this one. What is this?
Do not share this podcast with your wife, Jim, because that's going to be the end of
you. Well, I might have to go to this one after the review here. So talk a little bit about it.
So the Plantiform Rejuvenate is an indoor garden. It is shaped like an egg, like a pod. It looks very space alien. It's kind of got these really big windows in the sides, in all four sides. And they've basically built it using NASA technology, which they call fogponics. So instead of hydroponics, which I think a lot of us would probably be familiar with, where, you know, the roots are in water, this essentially puts, it takes water in the bottom of the garden and uses ultrasonic technology to turn it into mist. So every, I don't remember now, 15 or 20 minutes or so, or 30 minutes, it starts misting inside. So the whole thing fills up with this mist, and that's how the plants get hydrated, and that's how they grow. So this was a really fun review, and I love this device. I've been using for many, many years a click and grow garden, which is essentially just a simple box. You drop some seed pods in. It's got a light and a tank of water underneath. It's no timer, no real smarts, nothing like that. This, though, is a whole new level upon that. You can plant, I think it's up to 15 plants inside. Mm. And it controls everything for you. So it knows what stage of the growing cycle all of your pods are at. And so it delivers the right amount of fog or the right amount of mist. There's fertilizer, which you put in the water and it sort of atomizes that fertilizer into the air inside it. And it's a remarkable device. It took me about 35 days to get a crop. And I am not kidding. The whole pod, so the pod's about 2 feet in diameter. So it's not a small garden. It's an accessory in your house. It's kind of like a piece of of furniture.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the whole thing on the inside fills up with lettuces or herbs or tomatoes, depending on whatever you're growing. So by the time the growing cycle was done, this thing is just about bursting. So there's so much food inside this thing. And it's all great because it's self-contained. You don't have to worry about, you know, leaves falling on the floor and whatnot. It was just a really great experience from start to finish. It was super easy. And the lettuce was really good. It was tasty.
Do you have to buy the seeds from them? Is this one of those kinds of things they put you on a subscription and you can't, you can't get off brand seeds in there and that kind of thing?
I think anybody with any gardening know-how could plant their own seeds. But one of the benefits of this device is that you get the seeds from them. So it comes in a little basket that you sort of pop into the, there's sort of a central column inside the pod. And you pop the seed cage in there, and it's got growing medium and the seeds already inside.
Yeah.
So they do obviously have replacement packs, but like these, a package of 15 seed pods is going to last you. I mean, it takes about 30 days to grow, and then it keeps growing after that. So, I mean, you could have food for, you know, a month or two, depending on how you harvest it.
Yeah, well, that's our, that would be our goal. Is she wants, you know, thyme and you know, the things, the herbs. I should know the names of them, but I don't.
Rosemary, basil.
There you go. Thank you. Just slipped my mind. In a continuous growing cycle where you're going in, you know, her dream is to go down and I need this for dinner. I'm going to go harvest this right now. In this kind of setup, is that like, and can I be adding plants like as it, maybe one dies for whatever reason, maybe I harvest too much of it. Yeah. Can I pull that pod and put a new pod on and just let it keep growing?
Good question. No, short answer, no. Okay. What they've designed it to do is to kind of create this whole ecosystem inside. So the plants that they send you in a package are all designed to grow together. And because they do sort of grow and mature within a short time of each other. So I talked to the company a little bit about that because I said, you know, in my ideal world, there's just two of us at home and, you know, 15 heads of lettuce all coming ripe at the same time is a lot of lettuce.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, even if I could plant, you know, five and then a couple weeks later, five, and then a couple weeks later, five more, then I'd have, you know, I'd have lettuce for weeks. And they did explain to me that, you know, that's not what the system is designed to do. And the app isn't really able to properly monitor that or to give the plants what they need at their different stages of the growing cycle. But she said that is something they're looking into in the future. Yeah. I really appreciate it. It's a Canadian company as well. Yeah. So I always appreciate when a company takes that feedback and says, yeah, this is something we're hearing that our customers are interested in. And we'll take a look at doing that in the future. So
Bob says made in Quebec, which is kind of cool. East side, if you don't know where Quebec is. And then Kevin says Invasion of the Body Snatchers was pod based as well. Just saying. I think what we're looking for is a more cycle the plants through, you know, have it available all the time when things are in season. Because, you know, it's like, hey, everybody, lettuce is in season. Everything's a BLT at that point.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, it's salads. We're having salad again tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? That's the way we used to eat, actually, when, you know, you ate what was available. We are kind of spoiled in the sense that you can, you know, now kind of eat in and out of season with a lot of those things. But yeah, what's the retail on this thing?
Ooh, I think it's about, I'm going to get it wrong.
I tried looking on your site and just real quickly, but
it's a few hundred dollars and I can't remember.
Less than five, exactly. More than three, maybe something like that.
I think so. Here, I just have it. Oh, there it is. $7.99 Canadian.
Oh, okay. So five something US. Yeah. And it comes with an app, I'm sure. And all kinds
comes
of
with the app, comes with literally everything you need. Yeah. It's got, you know, spritzers and buckets and the fertilizer, and you get a box of seeds with it. And then the only other thing I'll say about the seeds is they do have different options for packages, where if you only want, you know, a handful of lettuce and some herbs and maybe some tomatoes so that you're not overwhelmed with lettuce, they've got different variations on that too, which is helpful.
No, that's
but cool. I'm excited. I'm going to try, I'm going to do another growing cycle in it because there was so much I couldn't cover in my first review that I did. Including how to clean it and what you're supposed to do, you know, once all the plants are done.
That'd be a cleaning nightmare, I would think, wouldn't it? I mean,
as it turns out, not really. I mean, you want to scrub the water tank out a little bit, but you know, there's a few dried leaves in the bottom, but you know, there are some things you've got to do to kind of refresh it, I guess, for the next cycle. But
well, it seemed like with that much moisture and very little air, not very little, but I mean, you're not getting a lot of air movement in there, mold would be a problem that you would want to address.
I didn't see that. The water did turn orange for a time, but I went to the company to say like, what's happening in here? And that was likely due to the iron, they said, in the water in Calgary. So I mean, I looked at it. It wasn't molding. It wasn't kind of gross. It was just discolored. So
And maybe you could get spring water. You know, you could buy spring water at the store to.
I think they want you to use tap deliberately.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the other thing about it is you can take the doors off it. So if you do want to get some more, you know, some more air in there, the doors will come off. They're just magnetic. And there is a fan system that runs inside it as well. So it's always cycling the air. It's kind of always moving inside. It's really neat. Like there's a lot of technology happening inside it.
As a pool guy, we had a pool when we first moved in here. And you think all these chemicals that you use, all this stuff you do, doesn't matter. I mean, mold and mildew and algae will grow anywhere. Yeah. You think, you know, sometimes really I think when we think we've polluted the planet and you're like, I don't know, the plants are pretty strong. I had a pool and I nuked it every year and I still got all those things, you know, I still got all those things back. So that's an area. We just did a whole bathroom remodel. And one of the reasons we did it is because we had a leaky pipe for a lot of years. I'm afraid to say it was leaking for a while. And so that mold remediation, you know, you just think it's just amazing where that stuff grows.
Yeah.
And in something like this, you're encouraging it to grow, right? It's got all the right conditions for that. So I imagine, cleaning that thing. And then you want to be careful what you clean it with because you don't want to sacrifice the next series of plants by, you know, you just want to bleach the thing down, you know, you would want.
Oh, I wonder. I've got to read the cleaning instructions.
No, you would want to be very, very careful with that. Right. So,
I'll have to report back. Like I said, there was still so much to that device that I didn't get a chance to cover.
Yeah.
My review was like 12 or 13 minutes as it was. So.
Yeah. Tech Gadgets Canada. If you want to see that review, I'll have that link in the show notes. If you want to go back to platform Rejuvenate, Plantiform. There we go.
Plantiform
Rejuvenate. And, you'll want to check that out. It's worth the pictures and make sure you watch the video. Yeah. By the way, any review that Aaron does, you got to go watch the YouTube videos. Aaron, you do a great job of making sure those are just top quality and done very, very well. Okay, we want to do a little speed round. We're going to spend just a few minutes. We have coffee. But before we do that, you found a new vacuum cleaner that you think is the best that you've ever reviewed? Is that right?
Spoiler alert, yes. It's a new Shark. And, you know, I read about this one. It's got some interesting features. Shark really kind of talks it up. And I just wasn't sure what I was going to get with this. But where I ended up with it is that it's the best cordless stick vacuum I have ever used.
Okay.
It is the hardest working. It has the best features. It's extremely effective. I had a fantastic experience with it.
And from I know every time you're on, you know, we're talking about robot vacuum cleaners.
Yeah.
But there's still times. I mean, even you don't you have like 17 robots going on in the house?
Often, yes, I do. But I mean, there's plenty of places a robot can't get to. So, and you know, we don't always want to be carrying the robots up and down the stairs. So if you've got carpet or a lot of rugs in your house, you know, a stick vacuum is very, very convenient. A couple of the neat things about this one, it, you know, the extension tube that they all have that you connect the beater brush to the motor, this one actually bends in half 90 degrees. So you can be vacuuming and get right under your furniture without having to stoop or bend over or kind of crouch down, which, you know, I actually found was really convenient.
Yeah.
It will empty itself, and it's got a big dustbin that it'll empty itself into, and it doesn't use bags, which I think is actually really cool. So you can just, you know, dump 5 or 6 days worth of dirt into there and then just take it over to your trash bin and dump it out. Very convenient.
Do you think they learn that from the robot vacuum cleaners, this idea of them cleaning themselves out? I mean, we never saw this on stick before, have we?
No, there's a couple, I've reviewed a couple of vacuums that do have that technology, and I'm just trying to think of what brands they were. I know LG made a version of that that did not fare very well in my review. And I know Uncle Marv likes his Dysons. He's telling us he likes his Dysons.
Yeah,
Marv, this, I've been a Dyson fan for a long time. I've always said Dyson is just the best. And if you've got the budget, just go straight Dyson. The Shark, Jim, if you've got the video that you can play, there was a test I did. My husband came racing into the room and he said, you've got to try this thing where it says, he says, empty the entire dustbin after like emptying itself for 5 or 6 days. So take the dustbin where things have been going for 5 or 6 days, dump all 5 or 6 days worth of dirt on the floor, and let's try and vacuum it.
Okay. I think we're showing it right now.
Okay.
Is this it?
That's it. Okay. Yeah. Spoiler alert though, you have to watch the whole video to see the results. So you might have to skim ahead. I'll fill in the blanks. It was shocking how much this could pick up at once. And I know one of my YouTube viewers left a comment on the video and was like, yeah, but that's a gimmick. Like, who's going to dump 5 days worth of dirt on the floor and then just vacuum it up? Fair point. But I think it does just go to show you how powerful it is and what it can do. And then I thought, oh, but I guess probably a lot of vacuums could do this. My Dyson can probably do this. And I hate to rain on Marv's parade, but I ran the Dyson head to head with the Shark and the Dyson couldn't pick it up.
Wow.
So the Dyson actually got clogged and kind of just stopped, and the Shark sucked everything up at once. So it was
beautiful,
blew my mind with everything it could do and how strong and powerful it was. So that's our new go-to daily vacuum.
I like it. One of the things we bought, what did we get? Did we get it? Hold on. Let's see. I have to look. I think it's a Shark. I think it's what we got. And it's still not very convenient on the stairs. You know, I've got to kind of pull it off and then we have a stair thing and you got to kind of do that. I need a robot that just does the stairs. I think those are coming. That's the hardest part out there. Well, I put the link in the chat here if you want to go see the review and watch the end of the video. If you can't believe it and you'll want to watch it. It'll be available there. It'll also be available in the show notes if you want to go. If you want to go check it out, I do like the auto empty. You know, we went with a full upright though. We've not like a done corded stick. One? Yeah, corded, full upright. Really like it. It replaced an old Oric that I had bought 20 years ago. And the crazy thing was, you know, when you use something for 20 years, and I'm the vacuum cleaner in the house, so I'm always vacuum. Then we went to the new thing. Then you go back to the old thing and you're like, how did I ever vacuum with this thing? It's terrible. This is awful. I was getting an arm workout every time I was vacuuming the house. I used it the other day on something. We just need to throw it away at this point.
Yeah.
But I have a hard time letting those kinds of things go. So they kind of sit till I cry over them for a while, and then I'll let them go.
Understood.
And this, but the new one, man, it is, golly, it's light and it's got the, it's got the whole thing going with it. I haven't,
the technology in them now is so crazy. The motors are so powerful. They're spacious. So light. And I don't know if we ever actually said the name of this one. People are probably shaking their fist at their at their speakers. It's the Shark Cordless Power Detect Pro Auto Empty.
Pro Auto Empty.
Pro Auto Empty.
And then in the notes you said Dyson who?
Yep.
I like that. Sorry, Dyson. You were almost anticipating Uncle Marv's question about that. She says Dyson who? Well, I'll have to check it out. We also have the Shark handheld that we use then, for this little spills or whatever, and you just charge that up, pull it out in the kitchen to pick up those messes. But it's vacuum cleaners. I'm always surprised at the passion that exists around those of what people use.
I think it's because they're so satisfying. It's really possible to see the job being well done and to feel really proud of the job that it's doing.
Yeah. Okay. I said lightning round. We went a little too long on that one. One more before you go, and I'm going to bring it up on screen. We want to talk about, coffee on the road is always the question, right? And this thing, what is this thing? Talk a little bit.
So a few years ago, I reviewed something from this company called Wakako, called the Handpresso. And essentially, it's a hand pump espresso machine. They came out this year in 2024, I guess, with a new version of it. So they've made it smaller, they've made it lighter, and they've made it better. So the way this one works, they've also split their product line kind of in two. The original one that I had, you could buy kind of an adapter kit. So you could make espresso out of ground beans or out of Nespresso pods. But what they've done with the new versions is you kind of have to choose now which one you want. So I opted for the Nespresso pod version. But it's if you're watching the video, you can see the screen. It's about two-thirds the size of the original one and ultra compact. You could literally throw this in a pocket or, the side pocket of a backpack and have espresso anywhere. It uses the pods. So you just stick the pod in the bottom.
It uses the old pods.
Yeah, the original pods.
The original.
And then you'll pour boiling water, I should say, into the top part, which has a small tank. Now, one of the things I didn't like about that, I like a double espresso as opposed to a single shot. Yeah. There's really only enough room in this one for a single. So small price to pay. And then you just pump it. There's a hand pump lever, piston, on the side. And out comes the espresso. And it's as good as what you put into it, right? So if you like Nespresso pods, you're going to like the espresso that you get out of this. If you don't, there is, like I said, a ground coffee version where you can use your own ground beans to make the coffee. So it's a fantastic gadget. I have it in the camper van. I take it with me when we travel. I just have to start my day with a good cup of coffee. So that makes it super easy. The only kind of maybe difficult part of it is you got to find the boiling water because it doesn't heat the water for you. So
retail and something like this?
I want to say it was about $100 or so.
And would you do this over French press when you're camping?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Well, I mean, I kind of do both. I always have regular coffee. I start with the espresso. Well, the regular coffee brews. I think you and I have compared notes on this one.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Retails for about $60 US or 85 Canadian.
Okay. That's not terrible.
It's fantastic.
I like the unique pump design on that thing. Put that in there. I have the new style, the round style Nespresso pods.
Oh yes, so the virtual.
When you said that, I was like, this could be kind of interesting. And then we've gone to some Giro makers, Giro makers, Jura, Jira. There it is. Jira. Yeah. Makers at work.
I used to have one.
Put these two, they're like $10,000 machines. Yeah. I mean, these are the big spin the wheel of coffee kind of thing. Yeah. You can have it make all kinds of stuff. Milk. We have an oat milk one and a regular milk one. And it is the most bougie thing. And you know, those things are broken like every other week.
Oh yeah. I had a Jira for a few years and I sold it. It wasn't my favorite. I'd like to see what they're doing now though.
Bob, before I let you go, Bob says, what do you do for boiling water when you're camping for coffee? What's your go-to when you're in the
Usually we've got a little gas stove in the camper van, so it boils up in about 3 or 4 minutes. Awesome. Or if we've got a fire going, we'll just pop it on the fire.
Aaron, what's coming up on TechEdgesCanada.com? What are you looking forward to?
I've got a smartphone review. I think I'm allowed to say it's a new OnePlus phone. I can't say anything else about it until next week, but I do have it and I've been trying it out. So I'll have that full review coming up next week. I've also got a whole bunch of appliances. I've got some Cuisinart, like kitchen appliances, a sort of blender food processor kit coming up, a Cuisinart stand mixer. I'm also reviewing Rocketbook sticky notes. So Rocketbook is the reusable paper concept with the erasable ink. They just came out with Post-it notes. They're reusable and you basically write on them. Do I have my cleaning box here?
I'll go big.
Here, I'll get it.
Okay.
Hold that box.
All right.
Just off camera.
Yeah, no worries.
And I do have water. So you've got the sticky note.
Yeah.
And then I'm right... wiping away what I have to do tomorrow.
That's like an eraser board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a sticky note, so you can reuse them. So I'm a sticky note monster normally.
Okay.
And then as soon as this is dry, you can write on it again. So it's pretty remarkable stuff.
Interesting.
And reusable adhesive too. You just wet the adhesive if it loses tackiness and it'll stick again. Like I said, I'm a sticky note monster, so I've got piles of sticky notes everywhere and I kind of feel bad about the waste. So that full review is coming out next week as well.
Cool. TechGadgetsCanada.com if you want to check that out. All the best reviews are out over there. And like I said, if you have not subscribed to Aaron's YouTube channel, you need to do that today. I'll have all the links available in the show notes. And you got reviews twice a week. Is that about the right average?
Yeah, twice a week.
For you have coming out. And they're
Tuesdays
all,
and Fridays.
They're all great. And they're all very helpful. And they're all actually, you know, one of the things sometimes in the tech gadget space, everybody reviews stuff we don't really use, or it's the highest of the high end stuff. Mm-hmm. And listen, you did a Lexus, so you have some high end stuff. Right?
I do get some fun. Yeah.
But I think you get some really good, you get some really good products that are good for all of us. And so I think that's one of those. I love seeing what's coming out. Because I like what you do so much on Twitter, you like dominate my feed now on the Twitter side. So I see you there. But Aaron, appreciate it. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for sharing and thanks for doing what you do. Thanks for saying yes when I ask to come on and appreciate you.
It's always good to be here and I love your audience. They're so engaged and always, always interested. And I do hear from them now and again on Twitter/X and on the YouTube channel as well. So I appreciate that support as well. So thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Have a great January, a great dry January. We'll check in with you towards the end of February to see how it went. I'll let you go and I'll close up the show as you do. But Aaron, thanks for coming on. Always great.
Awesome.
To see you.
Thanks, Jim. Have a great night.
You bet. Have a great January. Take care. Okay. With that, a couple reminders on the way out. And Aaron, just close out your browser. It's probably the easiest way to get out of it. It's with Restream. It's always interesting to try and get out of here. So appreciate you guys. And it is good to see Aaron. She does a great job. Always appreciate her and having her on. It's a super fun interview. And Randy, sorry, I said Twitter. It's really X. I'm having a hard time getting that done. Bob said, LOL, pretty remarkable. Great pun. It's good stuff as well. And Ryan, don't worry about it. He said, hoping to catch the live show tonight, but the recorder will have to do. perfect for the flight. Yeah, to CES. Sorry. By the way, Ryan, we talked about CES. Sorry that you're going. I know you're suffering for all of us. Appreciate you doing that. And be safe, be safe in Las Vegas, especially with everything that's going on. Just stay away from the Cybertrucks. Okay. Don't go near any Cybertrucks, and I think we'll be okay. Big thanks to Erin for coming out tonight. Always great to have her on here. Again, the notes, the show notes will contain all the links to everything we looked at, both the, I'll probably convert most of those to the site where the review is. We showed a lot of YouTube videos tonight. But we'll show those. By the way, this is one of those. I know if some of you are listening on audio and you're like, oh, you're talking about some things. This might be one good idea to come over to theaverageguy.tv and find the episode and watch a YouTube video for it. Just a lot of stuff. When she's on, it's just good to show her videos while she is here. Okay, a couple reminders on the way out. Don't forget to join the Discord group if you haven't already, theaverageguy.tv/Discord. And you know what Bob said? Hold on. Bob said he was tardy. It's okay. You can come back and listen to the first step. I recorded it all for you. It's all there. Don't worry about it. I'm just glad you guys came out. It's always good to see you guys and appreciate it. Maybe I'll have a little Q&A and a new year Q&A in the post show. So if you're hanging out live, if you don't come out and join us live every Thursday. Not every, but most Thursdays, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern out here at The Average Guy. .tv/live. I was going to see, do I have the schedule up? Let me roll through this here. I need to get some more guests scheduled, but, by the way, Mike Weger next week, he's here. So he's joining me. You know, I love it when Mike is on. He and Erin are the super easy guests. Actually, they're all pretty easy, but, so Mike Weger will be here next week and I got Christian scheduled for the beginning of February, but, love to have you join us live. 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern out here at theaverageguy.tv/live. And then don't forget, theaverageguy.tv platform, both web and media, hosted by Maple Grove Partners. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people that you know and you trust. For more information, check it out today, maplegrovepartners.com. Christian still has $10 plans. In fact, just this week, or maybe it was last week, 2 weeks ago, he switched hosting locations for me. That cutover went really fast. He was just like, hey, it's switched over. What do you think? Super fast. I mean, he's on the new site. Wow. So you can check out the speed if you want to head over to theaverageguy.tv, but holy buckets. He's got plans that start at $10 a month and he'd love to host for you. If you got something that you need hosted, he can do just about anything. Give him a ring, maplegrovepartners.com. And then last of all, if you got comments, feedback, whatever, send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. Love to hear from you. New year, 2025. Excited for it. Maybe we'll do a little 2025 Q&A in the post show here. And if you're a Patreon subscriber, you get those automatically via email or technically you can watch them on my live YouTube channel as well if you want to do that. But thanks for those who came out tonight. And I saw Randy. Randy, good to see you. Uncle Marv, Brian, Bob. Bob, good to see you. I haven't seen you in a while. Good to see you out here. Tony was out. I saw John a little bit earlier. Big thanks to John who came on 2 weeks ago. Schoonover was out here. Kevin. And Brian. Did I mention you already? Brian and Ken. So you guys, thanks for coming out tonight. We'll be back next week with Weger. Thanks for listening. With that, say goodbye.